Would you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the word is proclaimed, we may receive holy wisdom to understand the gifts you have bestowed on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, a show of hands. How many of you have seen one of these TV shows? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay, Sesame Street. All right, Masterpiece Theater. Antique Roadshow. Great British Baking Show. All right, Downton Abbey. What do they have in common? They are all on PBS, the publicly funded television network. In May of 1969, PBS, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, was in danger of losing its funding. There was a hearing held by the Senate, and a quiet man went to testify to the benefits of educational TV. His name? Fred Rogers. Now, in his 6-minute presentation, Mr. Rogers explained to the chairman, Senator Pastore, that he was trying to understand the inner needs of children. "I try each day," he said, "to help each child realize that they are unique. I end this program by saying, you've made this day a special day just by your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are." He went on to describe how public television can do a great service for mental health, and that he, in his work with children on public television, had tried to present a meaningful expression of care. After that short 6-minute testimony, the response of Mr. Pastore was to say, "I think it's wonderful. Looks like you've just earned the $20 million. Many of us have seen one or both of the recent movies about Mr. Rogers, who was, incidentally, a Presbyterian Church USA minister. The first movie that came out, I think it was 2018, was a documentary, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" Now, what one takes away from watching this movie about Mr. Rogers, besides a good cry, is an appreciation for the depths of kindness and character and decency in this man. And after watching it, I just feel so inspired to behave the way that he does. This man, his ministry, it's salt. Now, today's text, as I told the children, are words from Jesus. In the transitional section known as the Sermon on the Mount, on the hillside. And I want to say here that I am going to see this location, this hillside, when I travel to Israel in early March. And I am very, very, very excited about it. Now, on this hillside, Jesus has been preaching unexpected words to the crowd that was gathered there. There are words of compassion, words of challenge. You've heard them before. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. In this part of the text, he names the people before them and calls them who they are. And it is a corporate you. The you in Greek is plural. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, we don't have to wonder about how Jesus meant these metaphors. For example, we know that salt was used at the time as medicine, as a preservative. But here, we know that Jesus was talking about flavor. And this text must have been pretty important because it does show up in some form in the other Gospels, both in Mark and in Luke. You are the salt of the earth. What does a little bit of salt do? We had a demonstration in our children's message a short while ago. And you will have an opportunity to do this during fellowship hour. I'm going to set out the two baskets for you, salted and unsalted. So be empiricists, be scientists. Test this for yourselves. A little bit of salt flavors the whole. Jesus says, don't lose your saltiness, because salt without flavor is worthless. But you can make a difference and change everything for the better. The other metaphor in the text is light, being a lamp that is not hidden under a bushel but put up high on a lampstand. You are light, as Ken so ably delivered a message about this on a previous Sunday. Now, just an aside here, I thought of titling the sermon, Getting Salty, Being Lit. But I know that these phrases now mean something different. In modern vernacular, my kids would laugh. It's something a little different from what I'm trying to get across. But getting salty, or at least being salt, shining light, is something that we have been both named and charged with by Jesus. So, how are we doing, church? Are we hiding under a bushel? Are we contributing the needed seasoning to the whole? In honor of tonight's Academy Awards, the Oscars, I decided that I wanted to share what the Presbyterian Church USA, our denomination, is doing to share its saltiness and light in the realm of motion pictures. Yes, Presbyterians make movies. Susan Crable, I don't know if she's here today, Susan Crable and I went to a screening of our most recent production late last year. It's called Flint, The Poisoning of an American City. It was shown at the Charles Theater in Baltimore, which was partly due to honor and invite the then-living Honorable Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings chaired the congressional hearings that investigated the events in Flint. The movie, Flint, is a feature-length documentary that tells first the story of the success and then the decline of Flint, Michigan, once a booming center for the production of automobiles. And as money and resources left the city and its fortunes declined, city managers changed the source of the water supply in order to save money. It began drawing its drinking water from the Flint River. Throughout the documentary, we see how this environmental disaster played out. Drinking water was, in effect, poisoned, affecting over 100,000 people. This was in 2014, and even now, even today, a solution has not been found. The Presbyterian Church, through the leadership of one of its agencies, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, PDA, went into the city to ask residents to tell their stories, voices that have been lost or neglected during this crisis. We see and hear from those who are financially struggling, who don't have enough money to leave and go to a safer community. We hear from those whose health is severely compromised. And most tragically, we see the effects of lead poisoning on the most vulnerable, the children of Flint, the majority of whom are poor and African American. PDA is sharing this film through area gatherings, and it has just become available on streaming services. You can get it on Amazon, on Hulu, other services, for example. And this movie provides not only light, you know, it illuminates what devastating injustice has occurred for these residents. But it's also salt, offering opportunities for people to ask questions about their own cities, to discuss how we view and value water, to ask questions of our leadership, to ask ourselves whose lives matter. PDA released this movie for this purpose, so communities will discuss, will learn, will be motivated to address social injustices, to discern and discover how God commands us to dive into what's difficult and to offer hope. Yes, we're getting salty, providing a little seasoning to make the whole better. This isn't the only resource of its kind. There are other films, some of which we have shown here and discussed at CPC. One of them, Trigger, examines the effects of gun violence. Another is Locked in a Box, which follows the stories of individuals held in the U.S. immigration detention system. One that I don't think we have shown, but is available, is called A Tradition of Welcome. It's about our denomination's commitment to ministry with refugees and asylum seekers within the U.S. and around the world. And I am particularly proud of our Presbyterian witness in the midst of these difficult and challenging issues. Where our society is functioning right now in a deeply divisive and polarizing way, these resources invite people into conversation. They provide salt and light so that we can see and taste and explore together, grow together with insight and compassion in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. We are, yes, living in tumultuous times. But Jesus himself said to us, "You are salt. You are light." I am challenging myself to look for this salt. Where am I tasting it? What small things are bringing flavor to the whole? In fact, I'm considering making that my Lenten discipline when we begin that time of the church year later on this month. One of the places that I saw it this week was in a Washington Post editorial on Friday by Marie Yovanovitch, who was recently the U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine. In it, she declares what an honor it was for her to represent the United States abroad, because she writes, "Like many immigrants, I have a keen understanding of what our country represents. A country with resilient institutions, a society in which freedom is cherished and dissent protected." She writes about her public testimony. We did what our conscience called us to do. We did what the gift of U.S. citizenship requires us to do. In the middle of her piece, she writes these important words. Every citizen doesn't need to do everything, but each one of us can do one thing. She's reminding us to be salt in the midst of turbulent and challenging times. She makes her critique, and she offers optimism and courage and encouragement. Salt. Church, we are salt. We are light. And I can make a list of the ways this congregation is seeking to be faithful to that identity. Through voices that are calling us for climate change action. Through voices teaching us about creation care. Voices demanding that we see inequalities in our midst and in our larger community. I see it in our senior high youth who have signed up for an inspiring week in a summer mission and learning ministry in Philadelphia. They'll be exploring the themes of poverty, racial inequality, and mass incarceration. And here's a shout out to our Envision Fund that asks for creative and even radical ideas and then provides funding for salty and enlivening ventures. The people that were gathered on the hillside around Jesus probably had never thought that they were offering much. They were an oppressed people, occupied by a foreign power, and they were living with immense problems and challenges, and life was very, very hard. But Jesus told them, you are the salt. You are the light. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm planning to watch A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's the second of the Mr. Rogers movies. This one is based on an article by Tom Juno, which was written in the Esquire magazine. And Tom Hanks is up for Best Actor in it at the Oscars tonight. Now, when Juno published his article, the subheading read, "Fred Rogers has been doing the same small good thing for a very long time." Fred Rogers has been doing the same small good thing for a very long time. There's so many stories about how this man exemplified kindness and grace in very small ways, in person, one-on-one, and on a larger screen for a precious audience of children who felt as if For him, they were the most important person in the world. Now, right now, one of the challenges of our world is power. Who has it? How do we use it? How do we misuse it? What does it truly mean to be great? What does it truly mean to be strong? And one of the many, many, many inspiring things that Mr. Rogers said was, "When I was a boy, I used to think that being strong meant having big muscles, great physical power. But the longer I live, the more I realize that real strength has much more to do with what is not seen. Real strength has to do with helping others." Thanks for being salty, Mr. Rogers. And God willing, let us be salty too.